Committee, thank you. Three housekeeping things. First of all, the banana bread has blueberries and pecans in. Second of all, I think we've added more people and the trustees have migrated down this way, so at our next meeting, Trinise is going to relegate, pardon me, some people down to that and move the trustees back. I want to make sure the trustees are on camera, and I think it's easier if they're down this direction, so we'll do the same thing on the whole side. Who would think we could fill up this table? And the third thing is that Jim Wagner's report was distributed to everybody electronically, but we will have copies of it distributed in hard copies before we actually, I think, get to his report. I just want to make sure everybody knew that. So those are the housekeeping things. Let's start with a call to order, please.
Governor Quinn, Secretary Snyder, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez. Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wisner. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Director Gonzalez will not be able to attend today. I think our other two trustees will be here shortly, so thank you. I did not receive any notification that there was anyone interested in making public comment. There is anybody?
There is.
Okay. I will now about to receive the notification as it appears. Thank you. Okay, Laura Long, call center staffing. Ms. Long, if you wouldn't mind, we have a podium up here if you're comfortable.
Oh, it's brief. Can I just do it for you?
Well, we're on the air, online, and we want your mother and your grandmother to be able to meet you. You're down here at the podium.
I have a phobia about you.
Oh, well, this is very benign. I can guarantee you we don't have such a wide viewership as you have.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Laura Long. I'm Vice President of Banner Personnel. And I just want to take a few minutes. We are a WBE, Women Business Enterprise, certified by the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. And I just wanted to make a comment. I commend the board's decision regarding helping people with disabilities as far as the call center goes, but I would respectfully ask you to consider that we have about 200 people currently working at the call center, and about 70% of them are, between 65 and 70% are minority candidates that will be unemployed if the call center changes. So I just really wanted you to consider that before making your decision.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board? Okay, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else who wishes to make public comment? Okay. Everyone has received in advance, but I'm sorry, not as far in advance as usual. We got a little slowed down on the review of the minutes, but you have received both the minutes from the regular board meeting and the executive session from August 23rd. May I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any comments or questions about the minutes? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you. We will then turn to committee reports. I would just mention Director Gonzalez could not be here. The audit committee did meet. We had an excellent meeting. Director Wisner was on the phone, and I thought that the meeting went very well, so and appreciate the hard work that Mike Fidali and the others have put into preparing for that meeting. So let's turn to Director Peterson.
The Finance Committee met last week on September 19th. Under Finance, presented five items. Two items updated the list of those authorized to conduct customary banking activities with Bank of America by adding the Deputy Chief of Finance. The third item adds the positions of Fiscal Operations Manager and Deputy Chief Finance to the list of positions authorized to approve vouchers, warrants, checks, orders with the Treasurer for disbursement to tollway funds, mostly cleanup and dual check writing and check and balance, basically updating the titles. I think with that is what we did. The committee also approved funding of the Workers' Comp Insurance Claim Reserve Fund in the amount recommended by outside actuary. Funding for prior claim years is recommended to be $7.4 million, while funding for prior claim years is reduced by $2.8 million. And our fiscal year is on a calendar year, January 1st to December 31st. However, the Workers' Comp Insurance Claim Reserve Fund is from May through April. So we had to make an adjustment, which would be reflected in the budget at this time. The committee also approved the addition of George K. Baum to the pool of firms qualified to act as co-managing underwriters. A review of the files indicated that a clerical error in the transcribing of scores resulted in the firm being left out of the award as previously approved. And I think we had already approved 12 firms. 17 firms, and basically we went back and double checked all the accounting and transcribing and clerical errors. This is the only place that there was an error, so it has been corrected.
Yes.
Procurement, John's group had two items, rock salt requirements for the upcoming winter season and luminaries. Both were approved by the committee. Rock salt, basically, we have less this year because we had more from last year that we kept and maintained in the sheds that's ready and available this year, so we spent less on salt this year, which is a good thing. Engineering presented 19 items that were placed on today's consent agenda. There was one item, item three, acceptance of proposal from Hill International for system-wide construction management and quality assurance services in the amount of $1 million. Was discussed briefly there about bringing in outside eyes and ears from actually out of state to review and give recommendations going forward. There was some concern raised after the meeting, unbeknownst to myself or the committee or staff, that this firm had done work before for the tollway. We weren't aware of that at the time, and maybe we didn't ask the right questions. Maybe staff didn't present it the way we would, you know, we need to. So we want to make sure, just restoring the public trust, that, you know, that we're, you know, doing our fiduciary responsibility, making sure those firms that have oversight are doing evaluation of work and full review of the program is truly independent. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. We just don't want to have, you know, the left hand looking at the right hand, so to speak, is what I heard before. So just wanted to raise that. I know we're going to talk about it a little bit further in executive session too. So just wanted to raise that item. Also, 18 professional service contracts were presented for a total of $37 million. On a great news front, there were 28 items, there were 33 primes and 140 sub-consultants. Of those, there were 20 new sub-consultants. I think there were 5 new joint ventures, and I think there were 10 new DBE prime selections that never had happened before, so congratulations to staff on that. There was a lot of hard work and effort that went into the diversification and unbundling some of those contracts to make sure we were represented on the and meeting our goals this time over with Paul. Nice job, nice work there. 35%, I think, of the estimated $131 million in construction has been committed to DBE firms.
That's correct.
So it's great work there. Legal presented an intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Rosemont that gives them permission to enter the tollway property near Balmoral, which is a new interchange there, for the purpose of maintaining and upgrading the grass and debris and other items there. Legal also presented workers' comp settlement and a real estate parcels in executive session. Very busy meeting. Thanks to everybody. Great staff. Good meeting.
Thank you very much.
Well, certainly, to the Hill contract, we absolutely want to make sure that, you know, I think we have tried to do a great deal to make sure that the public can have confidence in everything that we're doing. So there will be further discussion of it. We want to, not only the leadership here at the agency, but the board and the public need to all be able to have confidence in whatever work product comes of that work. So we agree, and we want to make sure that we have, you know, maybe some additional discussion about it to see if people are comfortable or, you know, how we should proceed. So
Thank you.
And appreciate everybody's candor on this. This is very helpful. Okay, so we have customer service committee meet as well.
Yes.
Director Reddick will report on that.
The customer service committee met on last week on September the 20th. Like the audit committee, we too had an excellent meeting. We talked about a few things. First of all, we talked about the RFP for our backroom system. We had talked about this before, and I updated the directors before about this. We anticipate going out for RFP in the next 30 to 60 days. We continued in that discussion. There were some issues that were raised during strategic planning when I attended, and I wanted to verify that some of the discussions they were having were consistent with the capabilities of our RFP and confirm that they are. We continue to push for a rather broad-based RFP that will allow us to maximize technology advances as they're available and maximize the number of competitive bids that we'll receive through this in order to drive down those costs to the tollway and to our customers. Feedback transponders. We've been talking about implementing this, and we have now a prototype of the actual transponder. That's being tested by the Easy Pass Group. The Illinois Tollway is going to, rather than wait until they get done, we're going to begin testing ourselves on that to make sure that it meets our needs, our requirements. And we're also talking about, as we implement this, there's going to be some additional costs associated with it. So we've got staff assessing what those costs are going to be, not just from a hardware perspective, but the actual implementation, so that we can start putting that information together and kind of come up with our plan and policy as to how we're going to deal with those upcharges. As you may remember, when the last customer survey was done, 90% of the people or our customers said that they wanted feedback transponders, and almost 40% said that they were willing to pay those additional costs to have it. So taking that information, we've asked that we update our customer service survey information so that we have all of the assessment on costs and the customer feedback as we proceed forward in creating that policy.
May I just ask a quick question on that? So that's interesting data. Would one option be to make it to make the feedback transponder available to people who would pay more? Or is the idea that we would change over everything and that 50% just has to sort of suck it up and pay for it?
No, I think that that's a possibility.
Okay.
But before we do that, I think, you know, one of the things that our committee wanted to do is make sure that we had all of that information.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is the cost that we have to recapture?
Sure.
And, you know, taking a customer-based approach to this, you know, what is it that they're willing to do or they're interested in doing so that we can do something that hopefully meet all of the requirements and demands of all our customers.
Thanks.
National interoperability. This is something that we've talked about over the last few months. This was raised. It was part of the transportation bill, and we're continuing to work on that. The committee gave some direction to Christy and to staff that we wanted to make sure that as we participate in this interoperability program development, that we wanted to make sure that the platform itself was a very open one. Much like in our RFP, we're really, we want to make sure that we don't get pigeonholed so that we're stuck with specific a limited vendor. We want to make sure that we can maximize the technology and maximize the number of bidders that we have in order to drive down those costs. So they're moving forward with that, and they were on board. The last thing that I have is on today's agenda, under business items 6.2 on our agenda, items 1, 2, and 3 have to do with the call center contracts. There are three contracts that are on the agenda. And at first glance, it's a little bit confusing because we have some crossover as far as the timelines on those contracts. I just wanted to provide a little bit of an update. The first contract, which has to do with the lease extension of the current property that we're using in Lyle for the call center, is an extension for 1 year. We anticipate being able to hopefully move into the UIC center sometime around June. We have that lease going for a year with a 30-day out, so that if we're on schedule, we can make that progression a little bit earlier.
I think, I don't mean to step in. Did we confirm? I just want to make sure. I know we had originally set a 30-day out. That we confirmed that. I know, Sean, that there was some.
Yes, the contracts are in processing.
Okay. Okay. I apologize.
The other two contracts are for the two vendors, the current vendor and the new vendor that are coming in. And there's some crossover as far as the start and stop date on those two contracts. We discussed, and there will be some discussion later, about the fact that we've got a phase-in plan that's associated with this. In order to make sure that our customers' demands are met and that we're able to do this, make this transition as seamless as possible, The contracts are drafted in a manner that will allow us that flexibility to do that, and that's part of the plan that we have for making this transition. So, I guess we can discuss it more at that point, but that was a big focus of that of our committee meeting. So,
thank you. Any of the directors who participate in either of those committees want to add anything or make any comments? Thank you. I'm really appreciative of the work that goes on in the committee, and I know it is a responsibility for the staff to prepare those committee reports, but I do think that we get a very good, thorough analysis of the work, much more than we could do as a committee as a whole, so that it's very helpful. Sometime before the end of the year, Christy and I have talked about the idea of figuring out how to do a board evaluation of ourselves and how things are working and how people feel about the way the committees are organized and the meetings are run and the way you get materials and all of those things. So we will come up with a plan to begin to do that, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. You will be thinking about that. It's not that we have any criticism of it. It's just good governance, I think, at least an annual basis to go back and to have the board members, along with the management team, really assess how the board is functioning and whether it's both fulfilling its fiduciary responsibilities, but also helpful in terms of the way management feels as if they can use the expertise of the board members. So we will organize that, and I think we'll probably use the executive committee of the board just to help think through how to design that and how to use it. So thank you. I do not have any additional items. Is there anything else under this portion of the agenda?
Did you want to update from...
Sorry, strategic committee, of course I did. One of those committees that is doing all the hard work.
In fact, we did not meet in September. Our next meeting will be October 17th. As you may know, we had been discussing considering interchange and cost-sharing policy update. The draft policy was put out for public comment in August, and the comment period closed September 4th. We received about 20 comments, and those ranged from anything to great idea to change the policy, or we want an interchange, to some comments of substance. And so we'll be discussing those at that October 17th meeting and trying to put the policy really in the final form for consideration by the full board. Relative to Illinois Route 53-120 project, as you know, we talked last time about moving forward and trying to go from the conceptual to actually getting some factual and dollar cost results in terms of taking a closer look. So the design concept report will be put out in an upcoming professional services bulletin. We're trying to finalize that now for that purpose, but it'll give us more detail, and as I say, move us out of the conceptual into reality relative to cost, revenues, scope, environmental planning, project alignment, etc. So we'll be coming forward or moving forward as well. So the design concept report will advance in parallel with the corridor land use planning, which is that study is being led by CMAP. So we're seeing progress in a couple of areas there, so that we're moving ahead. And that would conclude my report, unless there's a question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else I ignored? Okay, let's turn to the executive director's report.
Great, thank you very much, Chair. First, on my list, I'd like to introduce our Inspector General, who I know we all know, Jim Wagner. He's going to present his fourth report to the Tollway Board of Directors. As you know, Jim's office continues to review and respond to any and all questions regarding tollway compliance with policies and procedures, and especially following up on any reports of potential wrongdoing. So I'd like to thank Jim and his team for all of their work. We often work closely with them in referring back and forth items that we found or that have been reported to us from the public. And we really value his work here at the Tollway, and he does a tremendous job of making sure that we can have quality and integrity, hopefully, in everything that we do. So, Jim?
And just a reminder, I know everybody knows this deep in their hearts, but Jim is actually, the office was created by statute, since Christy and I have been in our jobs, and he is appointed by the governor, but is responsible to report both to the executive director and to the board. So he's independent in the sense of his appointment, the appointment power, but he also is reporting back to us on the functioning of his office and what he does. So this is an opportunity to really exercise some rigorous analysis of that and ask him questions and make sure that we're comfortable with the way the office is operating.
Thank you very much. Members of the board and ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I do have a brief report. You have a copy, I know, that was emailed to you, and I believe a paper copy has been distributed. I don't intend to go over all parts of that report. I just want to highlight a few issues. One thing I will point out, the report mentions our staffing. We currently have 3 investigators. Our administrative assistant just changed. The person who had been there since 2004, I believe, when actually the office was opened up by board resolution, just retired, and I've replaced her with another person I think is going to do an excellent job. But we're transitioning so that she can get acclimated to all of the forms that we have. You will find in the report there are a couple of items that were previously reported to you, and I brought those to your attention simply because they finally were resolved in court. We had 2 cases of collectors who were misusing the emergency vehicle button, and those people were actually charged criminally in court. One in DuPage County was pled guilty, was sentenced to 24 months probation during this 6-month reporting period. The second one pled in Cook County and was sentenced to 1 year. We had another instance of a tollway manager was accused of grabbing, choking, and causing injury to another employee. He was interviewed by our office and District 15 of the Illinois State Police. He was eventually arrested, and he pled guilty to misdemeanor battery in DuPage County and received 1 year court supervision. I wanted to point out we had another instance of a inappropriate use of a non-revenue toll transponder. As you know, the tollway provided those for the use of the employees to and from work or for business purposes. Our review indicated it was being used inappropriately. We referred that for consideration for discipline, and upon receiving that, toll operations continued a review of the collector's performance and work and determined that he was not performing a proper evaluation or vehicle class validation, resulting in the tollway again not receiving the finances they were supposed to. He was eventually put on suspension and terminated. And I point that out because of the fact that due to the previous investigations that we were doing with regard to the inappropriate use of the emergency vehicle button, which has decreased to almost a non-existent issue, toll operations has done a much better job of reviewing all issues with regard to the toll collectors. And I just want to tell them we appreciate the extra effort that they're taking in addressing these issues. We had one instance of a call being received by our ethics officer here at the tollway that was from an individual who couldn't understand why he was never employed at the tollway, and it resulted in him making some inappropriate comments, getting on to harassing, and then even a threatening nature with regard to another employee at the tollway. Again, we worked with District 15, the Illinois State Police. He was confronted, admitted making the telephone call. He has been charged in DuPage County with harassing and threatening telephone call. Just briefly, we also had an investigation with regard of abuse of the Family Medical Leave Act. We had an employee who was given FMLA leave to leave the country, care for a close relative, but we determined that he actually returned to the country, to this country, and stayed on family medical leave for about 30 days, violating the FMLA rules. When we called the individual in, he resigned, and I believe he's left the country. We made a few recommendations based on that, one being consider adding FMLA falsification of claims to the list of infractions that are found in the Policies and Procedures Manual, and consider adding failure to call your supervisor on a weekly basis when on approved leave to the list of infractions, and also review discipline for attendance and call-in violations to make sure the discipline is actually progressive over time, because we found that in some instances that was not being done. We had another investigation with regard to an allegation of a construction company having contracted with a disadvantaged business enterprise in order to fulfill a tollway contract, allegedly knowing that the DBE company, the disadvantaged business enterprise, was not able to fulfill the terms of the contract. We found out that the DBE company was supposed to be responsible for almost $3 million of the contract, and they had, after signing the agreement to provide that work, had advised the prime construction company that they could not get the loan necessary for them to do that work. It centered around rebar concrete. There was information that the then chief of procurement, who's no longer at the tollway, gave verbal approval for the prime company to pay for the concrete rebar, provide the manpower, and do the work. That's all in violation of the disadvantaged business enterprise rules. I will point out also, though, that this occurred originally back in contract for 2007, and that was the beginning of the proposed rules for the tollway to engage in the DBE program. So you could say that there were a few bumps in the road for people to become fully aware of those rules.
We're in the business of not having bumps in our road.
It's one of those bumps in the road. We made a few recommendations after looking through.